Hey, everybody. Welcome to McMillan and Morrow. I'm Sean McMillan. This is Rich Morrow.
What up, though?
He's so cool. Truly, thoroughly. Listen, settle down. Take off your shoes. Get comfortable. We're going to traffic in the somewhat ridiculous, the sublime, the interesting stories from around the world, from almost everywhere. And we're going to talk about him. He's going to bring what he brings to the table. I'm going to bring what I bring to the table, and we will see what happens.
You ready for this?
It depends.
Yeah, we never really ready for this, but we ready for this at the same time, huh? We got a rainy day today. This is a good day for us to dive into some interesting stories, I feel like. What you think?
Are you going to get to the story?
I'm going to get to it. I just want to warm you up.
What
can't
you
just jump
there?
Into the pot.
You're talking like we're at a night. It's busy, busy, busy.
So when you get in the pool, you're one of those people that don't dip your toe in first. You just jump in.
I don't go to the pool.
Point proven. There we go. That's why we're having this conversation.
I'm black and from Brooklyn. I go to the pool.
That's a good call.
If I go to the pool, I have all my clothes on.
You know, that's the Florida that, you know, came out of me going to school.
When I go to a pool, I'm drinking a drink on the side of the pool.
See, that's how you know you've been doing really good in life for a long time.
No, that's how you know you're black.
That's also.
That's how you know you're black. Okay? Black people swim, just not the ones I know. Keep going.
I feel them, though. Okay, we're going to dive into this first story. LAD Bible reports, and this is an international story, we're going to Tel Aviv. A couple left a baby at airport check-in after refusing to pay for a ticket. Check me out. A couple with a newborn.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
You heard me right.
They left their baby at the check-in because they would not pay for the baby to fly with them?
Yeah, so they didn't know that the airline requires you to buy a ticket for babies 14 days before the flight.
So instead of going home, they left the baby.
They left the baby in the stroller and tried to board the flight still.
No, wait. So they tried to sneak the baby. Finish the story. Because before I go absolutely ham.
You go.
Let me hear
give
more
it
of
to
this.
Him on this one. So
go ahead.
I'm going to just give you a brief summary of what happened beginning to end. A couple with a newborn attempted to board a flight from Tel Aviv to Brussels. But they hadn't actually bought a ticket for the baby. So because of the policy with the airlines, they didn't know what to do, so they left their child in the stroller and attempted to still board the flight without the baby. And witnesses spotted the baby and were just like, what is going on? You just ditched this newborn in the middle of the airport, and people just literally couldn't believe what they were seeing. So that's why we're hearing about it now, because
hey, like, hold on. Is he getting this right?
That actually happened.
Is he getting this right? Because I'm totally confused. Did they leave the baby, or did they try to sneak the baby?
They left the baby and claimed that they were just trying to go through security and kind of figure this out.
Yeah, I was about to get to that
part. And then they were going to come back to the baby. But they left the baby in the stroller, like, you know, outside of security, alone.
You hearing me correctly? They left their baby as if it was like a book bag that they didn't need nothing in.
See, I had to fact check.
You just literally can't even believe. And that's why people were like, what? And they called the police. They tried to say that they were going to be coming back for this, you know, baby, but you can't leave. You know damn well you can't go through security and come back.
You know, we're on television now, so I can't say what I would normally say when, you know, when we were just the
but
podcast.
That's why I give you these type of stories, because I love hearing you try to find the words to describe what is going on.
No, it is, let me tell you something. It is a melancholy truth.
Okay.
That there are too many people engaged in too many things that they are not ready or prepared to handle.
An example, having babies.
What did I tell y'all about having sex? Huh? What did I tell you? I'm talking to you right now. Having sex, it's a wonderful thing, but it can lead to babies. And if you're not prepared for the responsibilities that come along with that, I withdraw everything I just said.
Yeah.
Let's just cut to the chase. You are a horrible human being.
Mm-hmm.
If you can leave a damn baby
in
an airport, were they arrested?
I sure hope so. It doesn't mention that, but I'm sure they were.
How's that not part of the story? That's the best part of the story. That part of the story redeems my trust in humanity.
Yeah.
I want you to be arrested if you leave your baby in the airport.
Well, I mean,
not to mention the fact that I also want your ass beat. I want somebody to jump out from security and sock you in the eye, especially the father. I don't believe in hitting women, but especially the father. Sock him in the eye. You don't left your baby? You done left your baby with, and gone with this woman
with a bunch
on,
of strangers at an airport on the conveyor belt, mind you.
Needs his ass beat.
Nah, for sure.
No, he does. He needs to be. He needs to be spanked. That's what he needs.
And it was them together, so it's like that's them a conscious together. Effort between the parents. This just—it's
terrible, man. It's terrible. That poor child. That poor child. Whatever. I don't know. You don't know what happened to the baby.
No,
thereafter.
I'm sure the baby is okay, but.
Not if the baby's back with those two. That's the point I'm making.
That about, is a good
wait,
point.
Wait, look, what do you mean I'm sure I if the baby's okay?
At the end of the story, the baby was okay.
The baby is not okay in any at any level of his existence.
So that leads to our point, though. It's never okay culturally to leave your child
What
with
do you mean
strangers.
Culturally?
In any way. Not it's, just culturally.
No, on At is no that a level cultural of thing? Human existence. No, it's not a cultural. What culture leaves
That's
babies?
That's what I'm asking you. Do you think that that could have been a factor in the equation?
Tyler, do white folks leave babies?
Because that I'm like, no, I don't know. No, I only know what we do in a couple
That's not a black
others.
Thing. Although, wait a minute.
That's what I'm asking.
I was left.
Oh, here we go.
Right. I was abandoned as a baby. It is a black thing. I take it all back. Tyler, don't say anything. Oh my God!
I feel like we just had a revelation.
I had a moment. I was those you don't
See,
know. I was abandoned
know.
As a baby, and left, you know, in a alley in a garbage can. My parents were 15 years old when they had me, and then they abandoned me and left me. So a janitor found me, and then I, you know, life began from that.
Man,
so
it sounds
but,
like
but,
a
but
show.
Hold on.
I know.
I don't think it's. That's not common for black culture.
I don't think it's common. No, no.
Yeah, no, that's not common. I mean, we will have babies and then give them to the aunt.
Although I do think that it's interesting now that you bring it up, because there's a show, one of my favorite shows, This Is Us, Randall Sterling. Have you ever, you know Sterling Brown, the actor?
Yeah.
So he plays a guy, Randall. He was actually left, except I think it was a fire station. He was left at a fire station as a baby, and that's kind of how the show ends up coming about, where he meets, you know, his adopted parents, and he's black.
Yeah, but it's a show.
And I know, but the fact that we already have another example
shows me
that this is something that must happen more than we probably are aware of.
No, I'm sure it happens, but I just want to say, when I told my little story, you didn't give me any empathy.
Oh,
you didn't give me
I
any
knew
support.
The story already.
But I'm saying, I told my story, I gave you my truth, the thing I hate when people say, and you just was like, what about Sterling Brown? And this is you went right. You just rushed right past my heartbreak.
No,
I mean that was the worst day of my life.
It was a life bulb moment. No, that was the best day of your life, because you wouldn't be here if that didn't happen. And
okay.
I'm happy that you're here with
okay,
me.
Okay, that was good.
And you're able to share this message.
That's good.
Say you ended up becoming someone else that didn't have a voice as big as you do because of what you've been
Clean
through.
Clean it up.
That's
good.
You're
doing
good. I feel like it all led to us here. And I already knew the damn story, so you can't be mad at me about not showing the same. I'm an actor, but I don't want to fake, you know, empathy towards you.
Now this is actually, because you did some teaching. This is a teaching moment for
here
me.
Here we go. Here we
you
go.
Ready?
Yeah.
This is good for a relationship. So
okay,
when you get married, right? You get married, you find the woman of your dreams. She's going to tell you things that you already know.
And I got it. Here we go.
And every time she gives you a piece of her that is significant, you have to respond like you never heard it before.
And receive it with love. I got that.
Trust me, I'm helping you, son.
That was a gem.
You.
He dropped a nugget there.
Yeah.
He dropped a nugget. I think Aaron will agree with us on that one. He felt that. I could feel his energy.
And that's true for your children.
No,
like
I feel
every
that.
Time your children bring you something as important to them, you may already know.
It got to be the greatest thing in the world at the time, though.
You respond as if you don't know it.
And you know, that's actually a great example, because I do feel like I feel that around kids. I love, you know, being around kids and working with them, especially in entertainment, because a lot of them are so, you know, excited and doing something that they love to do. But I've noticed that in my friends that are, you know, young parents, the excitement that they, you know, bring every day. And I see now, it's like, that's a full-time job. Like, you really have to be very, very emotionally intelligent, I feel like, to be a great parent.
How about to be a great human being?
And human being, of course.
A person who is emotionally unintelligent will never understand the depth and the reach of their humanity, nor their capacity for greatness.
Mm.
Because if your gift isn't equal to your character.
Yeah. A lot of things are going to be, yeah, I got that.
You're not going to be there long. And you're going to burn bridges and ruin relationships.
Because you don't know
so
how
you affect
what
we
other
just
people.
Went through, mm-hmm. you know, you knew the story. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, you and I have been friends for eight, 9 years. So, of course, you know the story.
Yeah.
But it's that if I bring you something sacred,
yeah.
act like I've given you something precious.
Yeah, because you have. I believe it.
Yeah,
I feel
not
that
you,
way.
The proverbial
yeah.
anybody. You.
Anybody. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, because here's what happens, and we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is people will start bringing you important things.
Mm, because they feel like it doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. Mm. They didn't get the reaction that they wanted, but that they needed. And when people stop bringing you significant things, that's when they lie. That's when they're duplicitous. And more importantly, you ready for this? That's when they start bringing it to other people. Mm. I just helped America. That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Drops mic. Man, that's a good one, though. And
but I hope those parents go to hell.
Yeah, those parents definitely deserve it.
Straight to the fire. That's where y'all belong.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No one does nosy better than me. Photos. We found 378 photos.
He couldn't what he do because I don't know how he found that.
These are years of snooping, okay?
I know you nosy too. Head over to Nosy where you can watch full episodes of The Karamo Show and be nosy with me.
So, moving forward, we're going to slide over to Japan. According to the First Post, Japanese people have lost their romantic ability, and it's leading to low birth and marriage rates, a politician out there claims. They're saying that because their birth and marriage rate is plummeting, and it's not a result of the, you know, high cost of living or maintaining a family. It's just people literally just don't care about being romantic anymore. I wonder how you feel about that and what you think some of the contributing factors could be.
But it's a difference between not wanting to be romantic or not wanting to have sex. Which one is it?
I mean, they're using the word romantic, but I mean, that I think is what it boils down to. I mean, they're saying young people still want to marry to have a family, to have more children. But, you know, when buying a car or a house is so hard because of economic concerns, it's very difficult to have children. So they're more focused on, I guess, just the relationship than actually reproducing.
It sounds like your generation. That's what y'all are doing. The kid, car. Car.
Depending on what car it is.
Family. YouTube.
YouTube University.
YouTube University.
Or Oxford.
Oh, don't get me to cussing. That's going to make me angry. More angry than the parent story. YouTube University, Oxford. The hell?
So that makes me wonder. Okay, so you being such a reader, you know that you are. I know you're a big reader. Do you feel that the climate now...
I can't see your face with this thing in the
way. I know,
way.
And I can't
you
get
move
this crane. It's like a damn construction
move this?
Site
That's
over
better.
Here.
That's better.
Should I try to scoot up a
I feel like
bit
I'm talking to an instrument.
You know, I was really having to...
That's better.
Here we go.
And don't edit this part out.
Yeah, no, you can't edit this out. All right, you ready?
Yes. So, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you because I was literally doing the same thing as you. I could see you on one half and one half. Okay, but do you think that there's a huge difference, though, in romance in your generation versus, you know, the way things are now for your generation still? You know what I mean? Not just my generation, because now it's, you know, the 2000s or whatever you're about to say. But do you think that your generation has changed with the times, or do you think you guys are still the romantic, you know?
Well, okay, let me say this. I think every generation has its own attempts at romance.
Mm-hmm.
What makes my generation different from yours is that we don't do it through a phone.
That's true.
For example, if I'm in a relationship with you, and all we do is text, it ain't real to me.
Yeah.
If I don't hear your voice or can't see your face, we're not in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because everything that we have is really just in my head. Right?
Because you never actually...
Your generation, you can have a whole romance.
Oh, yeah.
Via text.
You can have a life.
And y'all don't see any problem with never talking on the phone, never FaceTiming, and almost never seeing each other.
You gotta quit using this word y'all as if I'm grouped in this whole category all the time.
You're one of them, man. No, you can't.
I'm 30 years old now.
If I can't deny the stupidity of Generation X, You can't deny the stupidity of the millennials.
Hey, the millennials are a step better, I feel like, at least.
Whoa.
In that regard.
Whoa.
Because we were the last ones on the cusp of not having that. I didn't have it when I was younger. Like, my first crushes and things growing up, I wasn't allowed to text them.
Okay, you mean, okay, you know, you mean older millennials.
Older millennials. But that's where
the
I'm
full,
at.
The full you keep spectrum on grouping me into millennials.
So where is the cutoff for millennials? Let me find
out. I don't know. I don't traffic in
these
things.
I'm not Generation Z, and I'm not. Is there something in between?
Okay,
them
I'm not Z. Z is after you.
I know, but I'm saying, is there something in between me?
No, it just goes from X to millennial. So X, you're our children.
Yeah.
Okay?
So what does that make
us? Baby boomers are my parents.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I damn near thought you were a baby boomer.
I cracked you up, huh?
Because the look on your face, you're about to jump off
the I thought about slapping the hell out of you. And then I thought, no, I love him.
We still on camera. We still on camera.
Not just camera. I remember, like, I love him. I can't do that.
But no, I genuinely haven't known where the cutoffs are. I thought my grandmother, you know, is part of, I think she's a baby boomer, I guess. Huh?
Your grandmother's a baby boomer. Yeah, your mother's Generation X. She's in my generation.
I just never knew. I guess Generation X is something I don't hear as often. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
There was a point we were trying to make with this. Okay. I was trying to make with
this. Yeah, I know. We lost the thought. There we go.
That romance is different for every generation.
Agreed.
I think the thing that my generation still, you know, believes in contact, actual human contact. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Face-to-face interaction. Your generation, not so much. Generation Z, even worse. The ones after you, even worse.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
It's love via a screen.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about love, son. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
Because love is an actual decision that one makes to be committed to someone and who they are and what they're aspiring to become that requires interaction.
Yeah.
Anything other than an actual interaction is you falling in love with something you invented in your head, which is ultimately narcissistic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it is being in the presence of the other person that pulls on me, that extracts from me the best of who I am and the worst of who you are.
Mm.
If I never have to encounter that except through a screen, or do some letters through a text.
Are you ever really encountering it?
You're never really required to do the work that love requires.
True.
Which is to be in your presence, to look at your face, and want to pour some hot grits on you.
Mm.
But to choose.
Medea style.
I'm not going to do that. Because I'm worried about what will happen to you.
Which is love.
It is a decision
that
is only made in the presence of the beloved.
So that brings me to a point. So with that being said, do you feel, not just from a romantic standpoint, that you can still develop that kind of love with someone through a screen? Say someone was on the other side of the world and you see these relationships develop. I was in a long distance, but you remember, I was in a long distance relationship at one point with someone on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like. But do you think that your generation is able to see the possibilities in that as clearly as, you know, the younger generation that's grown up just feeling like that's the norm? Because I do feel like some people do find genuine love out of those situations. It's not, I feel like, as common or as healthy probably for most people, but no, it's an interesting line to walk.
No. Can I say this? Mm-hmm. And thank you for the correction. I'm not trying to say that one cannot develop feelings for someone through a screen.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. We've all done it.
Yeah.
It's 2023.
Let's
okay?
be real.
You know, you're special. Somebody sends you back a message in your direct messages.
Yeah.
And you start going, oh, Lord Jesus.
Your whole life starts to fall.
I want to thank you for your blood and this direct message.
And thank your parents.
Thank your granddad. Anyway, so absolutely you can develop feelings. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, at a certain point, in order for this to become something more than a figment of your imagination or projection of your emotions or something that sort of feeds your attachment issues, right? And in order for it to do the work of love, see, love has a work that it has to do in your life.
It's work.
And that work I'm saying the world can disagree with it. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
The work of love cannot happen through a screen. Now, you can like somebody. You can lust somebody. You can care about somebody, be attracted to somebody, desire somebody. You can want somebody. Huh?
Yeah.
You can do all that.
All of that.
But the work of love.
Yeah.
See, love's great work isn't what it does for the person you love. It's what it does for you. In the presence of the person, in the presence of their fallibility, their problems, their joys, their sorrows.
Everything.
You learning how to react. See, I can be in your presence and I learn how to read your face.
Yeah.
I learn how to read how you carry your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell from how you hold your fork if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
I can watch you walk across the room and know she's insecure.
Yeah, something
or he's not feeling well today. Yep. That's the work of love.
That's the work.
Come on now.
Who are you preaching today?
Listen.
You're preaching today.
And I'm just saying, bringing it back to the Japanese.
Yeah.
which is where we started this story.
He took us to church. We done left Japan and went to Brooklyn.
There's a difference between not wanting romance and not wanting to have sex.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they are engaging in the decision not to have sex as much. You read the story and it suggested because of, you know,
maybe
economics culturally. And making enough money. Which let me just
and
say.
That's from a sociological standpoint.
But let me just say there probably more people in this country who should also make the same determination.
I think so.
Here's the part where you're not going to like me, America.
Here we go.
Because if you have three children and you can barely afford to feed them, why are you having four more?
Pull out.
Your pull-out game is terrible, sir.
Weak.
It's terrible.
That's what they need to start having classes for.
Oh, see.
People that, out.
That's a t-shirt. That's not a t-shirt. And you stop it.
Pull-out university.
No. Good. That's not funny.
It's funny because I just can't wait to hear what you be thinking. It's just the best thing to me. You are so unpredictable, but so wise in your words.
That's not gonna clean up what you just did, okay? I'm like God, I cannot be flattered, okay?
No. Y'all like how I try to butter him up to make him feel better?
So
I could get less heat from this side of the room.
So my point is, people, okay? My point is that I'm okay with people not wanting to have sex. As much or have babies. That's a choice every individual gets to make.
Yeah.
But I'm not okay with a world, living in a world where people disavow romance.
Yeah.
Because I think we need it. I think, you know, you'd be surprised at how many men, as much as women, want to be desired.
Yeah.
Want to feel like you want me, like you need me. Not need me to pay your bills or need me to make you feel special.
Need me in your presence.
But you want me there.
Yeah.
And women need that and men need that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ability to make another person feel special.
Yeah.
To feel like they are indispensable. As if to say, you see, a lot of men think, That what she wants is the antics in the bedroom. Make my eyes roll up in the back of my head and give me 20 minutes of ecstasy. But the truth of the matter is, what she's really waiting for is for you to, when you get done with all that, is to roll over and say something that speaks to her spirit.
That means something to her.
Is to roll over and say something that makes her free from the silliness she had to live through when she was a little girl.
Forget
now, she can do it herself because she's that kind of woman. But you can assist in that.
It's the yin and the yang.
And what men want is to be in the presence of someone who makes us feel special. And that's romance, right? That's what it means to be seduced.
That's our version of it.
To be seduced. Yeah. And I don't want to live in a world where people give up on that. I think there's so many hurt people who've been cheated on and broken and disrespected and disavowed.
That's what it ends up being about.
And I think that what happens is, We are living at a time where people no longer believe in romance. They don't believe in love in the way that
and
I express it.
And that's what I'm feeling.
But it's a valid conclusion because of their experiences.
Exactly.
But what I always say, and I've said it to you before, do not blame love for what people do in the name of love.
Mm.
It's like being mad at the paint because the picture isn't beautiful.
Yeah.
You got to blame the artist for that.
Whew. You know I like that one.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
It's true.
It's true.
So, my Japanese brothers and sisters, I wish you romance and sex is great, people, just so y'all know. It's a wonderful thing. So, but do what y'all want to do. Yeah. As for me in my house.
you need the whole meal.
Listen, don't bring me no appetizer. Devil is a lie.
You ready for this next story?
I'm too old for salad.
Hey, you too old for salad. I'm not even gonna decipher that one. I'm gonna just move on to this next story. Okay, according to ABC News, we're going over to China. There's a new device that allows couples to simulate, you're gonna laugh, kissing over the phone.
I'm done.
Just what we were talking about.
No, next story. Next story, right now, next story. Skip that story.
A new device out of China, though, allows couples to share a kiss with real physical intimacy. Okay. Anywhere in the world. And it attaches to your phone. It's equipped with a silicone mold of the person's lips that have sensors and actuators to mimic an actual kiss.
Did I not just say next story?
That's why I'm pushing it, because I know something's going to come out.
No,
and I
nothing's
can't
coming
wait.
Out of this.
The kissing can also transmit the sounds made by the user's partner on the other end. So if you moan while you kiss, you know, some people are moan kissers. You can simulate that too. It also was created by someone who said the inspiration was for his own long-distance relationship that he had.
So instead of getting his ass on an airplane.
And look, he's probably rich.
Yeah, he gonna simulate some kissing. And there are a bunch of dummies in the world who will settle for that. Who will absolutely take that to be something positive in their life. I can simulate kissing someone.
I mean, they got whole sex dolls now.
I don't think you can say that.
Oh.
Now that we're on television.
Yeah, well.
Okay. All right.
They'll beep it.
You just cussing?
It just slipped out. That's how you know. You know what my mom used to say? When I'm cussing, that's how you know I meant what I said.
I don't know what he's laughing at. I really don't.
Because it just slip out. You know, sometimes you just slip out when you really speak in your mind.
I'm holy. I don't do stuff like this.
Oh, no. We know. We got video proof of your slippage. So, I'm not hearing that. But crazy part about this is, I'm not even going to ask you, because the look you just gave me, you don't make me laugh before I ask the question.
What do you want to ask? Go ahead and ask. That's what we're here for.
You know how every app or, you know, device ends up having upgrades? You think they're going to upgrade to having a tongue so you can French kiss it, or no? I guess
Ooh, Jesus Lord, hold my peace, God.
It's because knowing people, they're not gonna be using that for kids.
You know what that reminds me of? Imagine when your son wrecks your car, and then he comes to ask you to drive the car again.
That's what that felt like.
That's what that felt like for me. Like,
because like, you made me have to ask it. Like, I wasn't gonna ask it. I actually was literally gonna let it go.
Like Negro.
I was gonna let it go, but I'm curious, because you know how people are. Everybody always gotta push things to the limit. We can't ever just keep something where it's like, all right, you know, this is in the middle of the
line. I don't know
lines.
Why we're still talking about this story. I really don't. I have nothing to say about this other than how stupid it is. But I will say this, and I mourn for all the people who will accept this as a suitable replacement and substitution for the real thing. Mm. Love is not digital. It is an analog reality. Now, you can lust, you can like, yeah, you can desire digitally. But what I'm talking about, I need your real lips.
Yeah.
Not something through the phone. You guys put too much value in the damn phone.
You going to stop using that term,
No, you're one of them. You're one of them. Hey, when I'm around you, you touch your phone like 37 times a day.
It's a part of my
you guys.
Life.
You see? See?
It's a part
you
of see? Your life, too.
No, not like yours.
Because you're not on TV and television all the time, too. You are, actually. But
I'm about to say, what do you think this is?
It's different.
What is
it's
this?
Different.
What are we doing here?
You're not an actor, though, too. So I have to be aware of what's going on with my other peers to take in the whole human experience and be able to use it in my craft.
You are not taking in the human experience on a damn telephone. You not understand what I'm trying to say to you? What is wrong with you?
I'm taking in the human experience through a phone. You take in the human experience when you put the phone down.
Let me live my truth.
No. Oh, did you say my truth? No, I'm not letting you live a fallacy. Just because you do it doesn't make it true. Just because you think it doesn't make it true. Just because you've accepted it and reduced yourself down to the standards.
You're not accepting my reality right now, and I don't really appreciate that.
Just because you've reduced yourself and accepted the standards that demean you, that doesn't make it true either. And someone who loves you is not going to let you do something stupid.
They ain't gonna let that fly, huh? Yeah. And look, we're looking in between these poles again. You know that, right? I feel like we like neighbors. We look between the fence.
See, now you're trying to obfuscate. That's what you're doing. You're obfuscating. This is called obfuscation, people.
Give them the definition of obfuscation.
No, I'm gonna give them a situational preposition.
Oh, here we go.
Whenever you change the subject, you're obfuscating.
Deflection, huh?
Yeah.
It's a deflection. That's a synonym.
Put your phone down more often.
I don't have it right now, do I?
Only because you're on television.
No.
Put your phone down.
Next story.
Thank you, Jesus. Dad. Thank you, God. I almost spoke in tongues. Let me tell you, this is another phone stupidity story.
No, it has to do with reproducing, but not a phone story. So we're going to go to MIT, which I'm sure you got great respect for.
I do.
Americans, according to MIT, are ready to test embryos for future college chances, a survey is showing.
What?
Yeah. So imagine that you were provided no cost fertility treatment and also offered a free DNA test to gauge which of those little embryos floating in a dish is the best chance of getting a top college student one day.
How do they test for that?
Well, they say, I think it's in the early stages right now, but given advances, it could be available soon. But I guess they would just be testing your embryos and they would, you know, have them in a Petri dish. And you would be able to, I guess, based off of whatever research they've done, determine which ones are going to be probably the better ones to use.
Okay, so let's game this out. No, let's game
this
out.
They look for genetic makers, you know.
No, I got it. I'm with you. But let's game it out to its furthest logical conclusion. So you got some embryos, mm-hmm. and they do their little test.
Yeah.
And they decide, oh, okay. Let's find the one that's most likely to do well in college.
To have intellectual aptitude.
Okay. But here's what they forgot. A great mind does not always make a great heart. Mm. That we don't just need people who are smart. We need people who are willing to be good, to have genuine character. No. Before you jump in, you do know Donald Trump went to an Ivy League school. And he is the least educated man in America. He went to the University of Pennsylvania, to the Wharton Business School.
He was in the Ivy League.
UPenn, I'm totally sorry that you guys have to be associated with him. So, yeah, you get the point I'm making, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
No, it's not. It is not enough. Listen, don't tell me you got a master's degree in whatever it is, sociology, philosophy, whatever, mm-hmm. and you are sick and need a master. Don't tell me you have a PhD in whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you a liar and a thief and a cheat. So just being able, and you can't, an embryo, no test is going to tell you what the character of the kid's going to be.
That's definitely true.
I would rather have, this is from the heart. I would rather have a kid with a GED that was a loving, honest, decent person.
Human being, yeah.
Than have Donald Trump. Mm. Ivy League degree and an
yeah, I agree, though.
We're testing for the wrong things.
Yeah.
And some things can't be tested.
That's what I was about to say. This is one of those things I don't think can be tested.
Sometimes you got to wait until the kid get here mm-hmm. and actually raise him.
Yeah.
Or raise her. Right?
Yeah.
If you had given me a test when I was an embryo, I might not have shown that I was intelligent enough to go to college.
Yeah.
I didn't blossom as a mind until I was deep into high school. I wasn't brilliant in the fourth grade.
A lot of it comes from development.
I wasn't brilliant in the seventh grade, the ninth grade.
Yeah.
I realized I was actually smart when I was a junior and senior in high school.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you start determining who gets to live and who gets to thrive or survive in the damn embryo, you know what I'm saying?
You're just guessing,
But even if you're not, let's say it's accurate, you're also not giving life an opportunity to work its own special miracle. Because most of us are miracles. Yeah. We're not just miracles that the right sperm matched up with the right egg. We're miracles because we are better, bigger, deeper, truer, more powerful than how and where we were born.
Absolutely.
I am not the result of who gave birth to me or where I was born.
I was just about to say, you would never look at you and
But neither are you.
Exactly. Neither one of
us. And you know, you have a great mom, great grandmother, all that. But you are bigger.
Yeah.
Than the, what do you call it, scientific DNA material that makes you who you are. See, my point is, we are, as far as I'm concerned, we are body and soul.
Absolutely.
We are mind and spirit. And so just because I may not test well when it comes to the science, don't underestimate the power of my soul. Because the power of my soul will override all that DNA.
Knocking everything in here.
Come on
over.
Now. That little DNA test will give you, they ain't giving you half the picture.
No, for sure.
What you don't know is what I bring that you can't test for.
And that's the factor in life that us as human beings and people get the choice, to make. We got the freedom to be able to work as hard as we can. Freedom to work, as little as we can, but we're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. And the things that we develop in that process are everything. And to think that you can predict that before life has had its way is unbelievable to me. And it sounds like a money, play, because if you convincing anybody that you know for certain their child is going to make it to the Ivy League, you don't know life.
Yeah.
Because I know from just my 30 years on this earth, there's people that have had their lives laid out for them from the very beginning that have ended up way far left than people who started out somewhere that ended up somewhere that they never thought that they could be in. People never would have put a dollar on them ever being, and they put their whole life into it. And now you get to see the results of what life, can really be. And that's the miracle. And people don't give that as much credit, I feel like, as they should.
But let's also, first of all, that was great, all of that. I affirm all of that.
Oh, see, this is you showing an example of showing that love. When somebody gives you something precious, you got to receive that. I see you. I appreciate that. I'm going to do better. Thank you.
And it's the laughing that...
I'm letting you know that I'm learning. I'm letting you know that I'm learning.
Okay, drink some water.
Yeah, I'm going to drink that over, but just know I saw it.
Okay, let me tell you a story. Because I think we not only need to indict the scientists that do this stupid stuff, but the parents who want to know. So let me tell you a story. So my mother adopted me when I was a baby. Mm-hmm. She also adopted my younger sister, Iris.
Okay.
And she adopted my younger brother, Curtis.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. So here's the thing about Curtis. Mm-hmm. Curtis was born to a woman addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. He was born with some sort of palsy because he was premature or something like that. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, he was born with AIDS.
Really?
Born with AIDS.
Wow.
So here's this black woman raising these kids by herself, okay, with a sixth grade education. Whew. And she chooses a child, one left in a garbage can. Literally one who survived the fire, my sister, and one Curtis who has AIDS.
Wow.
She chose what these parents who want to know would have never accepted out of the Petri dish.
They would have never even gave them options to choose them, probably. They would have never chosen. The ones.
But this remarkable woman chose three broken babies and gave her love to them unconditionally.
And look what it did.
Now, Curtis died.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister and her family, why are you bringing this baby in? This is back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
when we didn't know anything about AIDS.
Yeah.
We thought if somebody touched you, you get it.
You're going to get it. Mm.
And she did not listen to her sister, none of her nieces and nephew, mm-hmm. and she treated them with dignity and respect and all of that.
Yeah.
And it taught me something. You don't get to choose who life has assigned you to love.
Whew.
You love who's in front of you.
You know what my mom told me? You know I love pulling out my mom's quotes. And just like that for you, it changed everything for me. Was she picked up someone one day and I was wondering, you know, what was going on. She helped this person that we didn't know. And when the person got out of the car, they had a child with them. So that was what really reflected to me, was they were walking, we were driving in a car, that could be us. Give the woman a ride. Mm. We drop them off. My mom forces her, you know, almost to like get in the car because it's a snowstorm. And I'm like, wow, like that was so nice. But I'm surprised my mom had stopped, because I'm sure they had been walking and nobody had stopped all day. My mom looks at me when they get out of the car and goes, you never know which one could be Jesus. So from that point on, I viewed everybody in front of me as if they could be Jesus and that person that was meant for me to love. And I feel like that has been the foundation of why I've become the person that I've become. And say my mom never taught me that or anything, I think I still would have learned that, because it was meant for me to see that interaction and that encounter. And sometimes it doesn't take somebody having to tell you or teach you verbally, but examples. And that's why we need more people that actually value the things that you're talking about. Because, man, if, like you said, if your mom didn't make that decision,
mm-hmm.
think about how many lives you changed. Think about how many people you've helped. Think about how many things you've done throughout your life that never would have happened because she would have put that decision in somebody else's hands. It's crazy.
Exactly.
And it just brings up how many of those miracles we've missed out on in life because that's been going on.
Yeah. To which I would simply say, you don't have to be intelligent in order for me to love you,
mm-hmm.
but you do have to be a good person.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, man, shout out to good people. We need to shout out to the good people. Yeah, we talk about a lot of the damage and broken on this show, but I feel like we definitely got to make sure we.
Aaron, are you a good person?
Give praise to the good ones. You already know.
He's talking about I already know. See, that's such a vacuous answer. No, you're a good person. Oh, let me tell you a story real quick, all right? Aaron, this relates kind of to what you just did. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone on the phone. I'm totally off script now.
Yeah, no, you
I was talking to somebody on the phone. I was complaining about something. And they said to me, well, you know, I told you how it was. And I said to them, what the hell does that mean? So because you told me in the beginning,
yeah,
that now negates all the consequences that comes along with. No, that's
just
not.
Just because you told me?
Just because you told me? Oh, okay. Well, I told. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
My point is how we use colloquialisms,
mm-hmm.
and we don't really know the work that they're not doing. You already know. Yeah. No, I don't already know. Hence the question.
Yeah.
I already told you. What?
That's a lot of people's favorite excuse. No. I already told you. So you can't be mad.
No, I can be mad. Just like you had the right to warn me, I have the right to react to what you did, even though you warned me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And let me tell you what I did, just in case y'all are wondering. Because I think when somebody warns you, and they tell you something, and then they do it, and then you don't like it, you have to be grown. And the grown part isn't being mad at them. The grown part is making a decision with respect to yourself. You know what I did? Deleted their number. Because you're right, you did tell me this. And you're right, I should have known better.
You like it, now I do.
And you're right, I don't like it, and the fact that you told me doesn't cover what you did, but now that I'm empowered with what you told me and what you did,
I'm going to act on that.
I'm going to make a decision. And the decision is, you can kiss my ass.
So he walked his way right out of your...
Listen. And you know I got the gift of goodbye.
Absolutely.
Listen, y'all. Do y'all watch this show? Because if you watch the show, you know what I'm about to say. I will forget your mama ever had you. I will forget they tested you in a Petri dish. My thing is, once I'm done with a situation,
mm-hmm.
I never forget why I'm done.
Yeah.
I never forget why I left. I don't romanticize.
Yeah.
I deal with it as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a reason we don't talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a reason we don't talk. And I'm okay with that reason.
Yeah.
Unless you can show me that you have that Jesus. You mentioned Jesus.
Yeah.
That he done reached in and changed your little soul.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk to you. I'm good.
Soul,
you,
baby.
You already knew what it was. What the hell? Well, that covers it.
Oh, okay.
That absolves you of any moral responsibility.
Yeah, we can't. That ain't flying in 2023. We ain't using that excuse no more.
I can inflict pain and it's okay because you already knew
I told you it was going to happen.
Okay. Thank you,
Nostradamus.
That only
works in a threat when something, you know.
No, that only works with a child.
Yeah.
Not a grown ass man or woman. Now, you can do that with a little girl, a little boy, a little 20-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, but do you know how old I am?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to say that to me. There's going to be some consequences and repercussions.
You're so funny. Okay, we got to move on to this last story because we got 5 minutes, okay?
See, you want to rush me with my good stories and then you want
to
talk about people kissing the phone.
I'm not trying to rush you.
If you'd have cut out 5 minutes of the phone kissing.
I let you rock. We was off the rails 10 minutes ago, and I just let it rock. You know, I let you do what you do, you know, so.
I don't think I like the term let me.
I'm not saying let you. I didn't interrupt. I didn't.
Okay.
Y'all know what I meant, right?
See? You see? You see?
Just asking.
Go ahead, go to the next
one. I told Dom.
You know how it was. I already told you. That's good. That was good. That was good.
Want the best of Maury? Kevin, you are not.
Want the best of the Steve Wilkos Show? Would you take Dave back if you left Dave?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to your favorite state. Can you guess?
New York.
Florida. So, according to NBC News, I'm just going to tell you the story. I'm not even going to give you the headline, okay? A man proposed to his wife with a diamond ring over 21 years ago, okay? Shortly after she lost the ring, she told him, I think I may have flushed it down the toilet by accident, right? The husband, 21 years ago, climbed into the septic tank in their house so that he could pump every bit of it through a strainer to try to find it. No luck.
I love him already, though.
Please
let this story end well.
21 years later, a local plumber was hired to replace the toilet, and sure enough, they found it. After a good clean, and the ring was given back as a Christmas gift to his wife.
There's a lot of shit on that ring. It's a lot of excrement on that ring, though. Wait, before you go any further, there's a little drop of wisdom here. Sometimes getting the thing back that used to be precious may not be as fulfilling as you think it is. Sometimes you let things go.
So you wouldn't have had the reaction that she had. She quotes, "It was kind of an ugly cry. I sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my ring. This is my ring." And they said that they may incorporate the diamond into a piece of jewelry or pass it on to a future generation. So they went past the down.
Right, the ring, they want to pass it down.
And tell, I'm sure, their kids about the story and have that continue throughout the history. That's to each of them. But how far would you go to recover a ring? Or would you take it as, all right, it's flushed down the toilet, and we only got a couple minutes, so I want to hear your take on this. I'm wondering, if this happened to you, and you were the husband, and you were in that situation, would you go to that length, or how would you handle this situation?
First, let me say definitively that I don't want to be anybody's husband. just get that out the way right now. But in this very hypothetical scenario, okay, I'm just going to go buy a new ring.
You're writing it off.
No, I mean, because I don't assign undue value to things.
Yeah.
The love that I gave the first ring to you with will also be the love that I give you the second
the next
ring.
One.
I don't have that kind of sentimentality about things. I just think that, you know, we can in the same way that that ring had a story,
mm-hmm.
which makes it sentimentally valuable.
Yeah,
the new one can have a story too.
This is why we got the new one,
right? But I wouldn't want a ring that's been in the toilet. How many years?
21.
The devil is a lie. If you give me something that's been down in the toilet 21 years after all the boo-boos.
Yeah, you know. Y'all have had 2 decades mm-hmm. of.
Whatever value it had, it lost. When the first boo-boo. No. Can you imagine if you gave me something, somebody was clean?
It's like, yeah, so I'm not going to lie to you. I had
Are
to
these
this
black
re-cleaned.
People? These don't sound like black people.
I mean, I'm going to take a hunch.
Did have black people.
Guess here and say, I don't think
so. I know I'm being a little racial, but can you imagine a chat? You may disagree. I can't see a black woman going, oh my God, I got the ring out the toilet.
She wouldn't even want to tell nobody.
She'd be like,
she'd be scared to tell her friends that that's what happened.
She'd be like, Tommy, you better go get another ring.
She'd be like, good, now you can go trade it in.
Listen. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's the real
smart trade
decision.
The ring in for the ring she always wanted.
Why not?
Add a little money to it. Yeah, I'm not.
Now you got you an upgrade.
There you go. See, people, we just fix problems.
We do.
Anyway, but we good?
We all good. That is it for today.
Everybody, thank you for being a part of McMillan and Morrow.
That yes, was a good one, man.
That was good. Listen, we'll see you soon. And in the meantime, do extraordinary things. Make sure you love each other, not through the phone, okay? Yeah. Real love. It's effective. We'll see you next time. We're both wearing smiley faces.
You know? It's okay. A happy day.
Bye-bye.
Go Cavs.